SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Rocking with you here on the grid. 844-843-6879 is the number. Just a couple other things, Joe, before we start and get into some other stuff. Villanova and Kansas State went to overtime. And Villanova's up three now. They're in the Little Apple, Manhattan, Kansas. Georgia thumping Georgia Tech right now as well. And that's about it right now, Joe. I do like this UConn-North Carolina game that's going to start at the Garden in a little bit. And you like the Cowboys of Oklahoma State.
I do.
Who are visiting the Salukis of Southern Illinois tonight.
Very cheap.
Well, go play it. Parlay it with Indiana.
I like Indiana. I should jump on them. Should I jump on a money line? Do they have a shot?
I don't know about that.
Extend, Bucks. Extend.
Probably
extend,
biting off a little extend. Bit more than you need to with that.
Extend. I tell you, I'm on this under in UConn and UNC. I think I feel good about it.
So you took the under. What number did you get?
151.
Okay. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates. Carver and Lisi with you, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us here, 844-843-6879. We do have Haro coming up this hour, so Haro today will join us on Carver and Lisi. And I have some other things to finish up with you this hour, too, Joe. I never got through all the NFL futures. So I would like to do that 13 weeks in. Mike Carver, along with the Encyclopedia of College Football. Go for the two, Joe Lisi. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Carver. Excited. We got a huge week of NFL. Still talking about the college football controversy. This is it. This is what I love. This is it. Love it.
Save that for, we could do a little bit more of that with Haro, since I know he had that on his sheet this week. So.
Oh, he did.
Oh,
awesome.
He's a lot of college football on his sheet this week. So we'll be able to do that. I want to get through these with you. I didn't give you the awards for the NFL after 13 weeks. And there was obviously some interesting things here, including the MVP, where Brock Montana is at the top of the board along with Dak. They're both 3-1 now.
Yeah, I'm not buying into it.
And Hurts is plus 350.
Yeah, I'll still take Jalen.
Mahomes plus 650.
Mm-hmm.
Tua now down at plus 950 and Lamar to plus 950.
Lamar at 950.
I mean, Tua and Lamar, let's just say which one of their teams gets the one seed in the AFC. I mean, they don't have any shot? I don't know.
I like Lamar. He's got a very difficult schedule down the stretch, but he's a recognizable name where if it's a bunch of, like, you know, if Dak can't win the big game. And
yeah, let me tell you, these people love Purdy, Joe. They love Purdy.
Well, he could do no wrong, and he stepped up with a very good
game. Brock Purdy winning the MVP in the NFL?
That's
hard to think about, right?
He's the man. Right now, you got, in order to be the man, you got to beat the man, and he beat the man on Sunday.
He's got a lot of juice right now.
He's got a lot of Joe Mo. Joe Mo and Joe Poe.
I mean, but Dak's going to be the unquestioned if he wins on Sunday night.
Question is, who doesn't he have? He's got, Dak has Jalen and then who does he have after that? Doesn't he?
Well, he's got a gauntlet. Honestly, yeah. Let me give you the exact schedule.
Here, right?
He does. This is the schedule. They have the Eagles at home Sunday night, and then they go to Buffalo.
That's not easy.
To and face Allen and the Bills.
And you know it's going to be cold.
Oh, yeah. So that's a Sunday 4:25, too.
Let's
that's going to be a night.
Let's see you throw the ball, hero. Let's see you throw the ball in 20-degree weather, hero.
That'll be a cold night in Buffalo there on December the 17th. Then they're at Miami on Christmas Eve. Then they're home for Detroit, a Saturday night game. Mm-hmm. And then they finish in Washington against the Commanders. But these next 4 weeks, Joe, are very tough. Eagles, Bills, Dolphins, Lions. Very tough the next 4 weeks. See, that's the thing. This finishing schedule for him, let's say they go 4-1 down the stretch, and they finish, what'll that get him, Joe? 13-4, somewhere in that ballpark. You know, that could be big for him. Because it's always what's in the mind last, you know? It really always is.
No, I agree with that. Look, I think he's going to go, if he could beat Jalen, and he had a very good game against the Eagles defense, and the link just couldn't pull it out. Remember? He ran out of bounds on the 2-yard line, and they couldn't get. Was that the 2-point conversion? Or was that the touchdown? I don't remember. Well, anyway.
Go ahead.
He still put up yards. CD Lamb. They moved the football at will. Jake Ferguson had a good game.
Jake Ferguson.
Yeah, the Jake.
But I think, and I know you said this on Coast to Coast the other day, I'm with you for points on Sunday night.
53. Let's do it.
P-O-I-N-T-S. Let's go. Points,
vamos,
points,
vamos.
Points.
Vamos. Gas him up, baby.
Gas him up. Let's go. Here's the other ones, Joe.
Gas him up. Let's go.
Tyreek is now -200 for Offensive Player of the Year. He's going to win because he's going to get 2,000 yards.
We have that ticket, by the way.
Yeah, but we have it with a bunch of stuff that's not going to win.
No, we have it with Stroud and Devin Witherspoon.
Yeah, Witherspoon's not going to win.
Why can't he win?
He's not going to win. He's now fallen behind not only Carter, but Will Anderson, too. So he's got two guys to climb, and the Seahawks have
a... What if he has two pick sixes in the final 2 weeks?
All right, well, then you better talk to him and tell him that we got a ticket and he's got to get to work.
We got Stroud. I mean, there's
well,
no
Stroud.
Way
Stroud. Stroud is the... I think Stroud is the one award. Well, Stroud and the comeback player are the two awards that are already done. It's over. I mean, Hamlin's playing 2 games this year. That's it. He's going to win that comeback player of the year. So. But Stroud's a done deal. Who do you want for coach right now? I know you were kind of stumping for Ryan's a little bit.
I still think Ryan's. If they can make the playoffs, Ryan's. If they don't make the playoffs, then I think it's Steichen.
Wow. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We'll come back. Plenty to do on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah! And we're back. Here it comes, Joe. Yeah! Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Great to have you aboard. We'll have Haro next segment here as we've got several things to discuss with him. I usually like giving you, Joe, now with that one seed in the AFC, Ravens plus 160, Dolphins plus 195, Chiefs plus 210. Jags now 17-1 after losing Lawrence and losing that game to the Bengals. Mm-hmm. On the NFC side, they still have the Eagles at minus 125.
Right.
And the Niners at plus 155. And a lot of that, Joe, is they're a game ahead of them. And the Eagles' last 3 games are very, very easy. They go Giant, Cardinal, Giant to finish the year. So you know, the 49ers have, I think, a game against the Ravens, and they have somebody else pretty decent. They're going to have the Rams, who maybe are playing for a spot. So I think that that's, Joe, why that kind of factors in there to who will be the one seed. As far as the AFC, I said this to you the other day, and I still stick by it. I cannot have Kansas City having home field again. Can't have it.
So, I agree.
That's my whole focus.
Well, I think they lose this weekend, and we talked about that. I told you, I think they're going to have five losses. And who would have thought that at the start of the year, right?
Right.
They're very inconsistent offensively, Carver, very. And, you know, you used to be able to count on Travis Kelce. I told you on Coast to Coast the other day, you know, close to 100 yards, a couple of tutties a game, you know, seven receptions, you know, every now and then a 140, right? But he doesn't do that anymore. He has that one game. What was it? Was it L.A.? When he broke out for like 139 yards?
Yeah. The Charger game.
Right. He kills the Chargers. That's the only team he kills. I mean,
he's got a couple big games this year, but it's not, there's no consistency week to week. There's not.
No, he's got
like he would be consistent 80 plus yards. How many what?
60 yard games does he have this year? At least three. At least.
Well, he had 80 the other night against the Packers, believe it or not.
Okay, but before that, he's had at least three.
This is what he's done this year, and this is just the last 4 weeks, let's just say. 81, 91, 44, 14.
All right, that's
58. And then he's got the 2 weeks, which were big. He had 179 against the Chargers.
Right.
And he had 124 against the Broncos. That was the first Bronco game. The first four games of the season, 67, 60, 69, 26.
Right, so that's not what we're used to with.
And the touchdown numbers are down too. He only got five touchdowns this year, and you're used to seeing a lot of touchdowns from him.
Used to seeing four in one game. Didn't he have four in one game last year?
He did.
Okay,
but here's the issue.
Where he had 20 yards and four touchdowns or three touchdowns.
For some reason, Joe, the last few years, it just always. It always comes up aces for them in these spots. And even if they lost this week, right, and they got to 8-5, this is their finish. At New England, they're going to win that game. Raiders at home, they're going to win that game. Bengals at home, like I said, are we feeling differently about the Bengals now and Jake Browning?
Well,
that they can go into Arrowhead and win? Not exactly Duval County.
Right.
And then they finish with the Chargers, who they always beat in the last game of the year. So my worry is that if these other teams, that's why I said it's so important for either the Ravens or the Dolphins to finish this thing out strong and not let them have home field again. Because they just, it's brutal when they have home field. They don't lose there in the playoffs. They just don't. I mean, they have. They lost to Cincinnati a couple years ago. They lost, you know, it's not like it can't happen, Joe, but I want to see them actually play a road game. Never plays a road game in the playoffs.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. And we talked about it. We know Pat Mahomes can win on the road. We get it. But it's going to be a harder road if they have to go through someone else's building as opposed to Arrowhead, right?
Right. I agree.
I mean, if they had to go to Baltimore.
Yeah, I think that's a different story. I think that's a much different story if they had to go to Baltimore. Hopefully that's going to be the case. So hopefully that's what we get.
It all starts this weekend with your Bills. Smash them. Smash them.
Beat your bookie over the head, right, Joe?
Smash your bookie in three. Smash him with a sledgehammer.
Ravens minus 7.5 at home for the Rams this week.
Yeah, I want to take the 7.5 so bad. I really do. The Rams aren't that great on the road this year, are they? Well, they beat Seattle game one.
That was the first game of the year. They haven't been really great on the road anywhere else. They won in Indy. That was early in the year, too.
Yeah, but they had a huge lead in that game, 20-0.
And they let him back in.
Could we cover the 7.5 with Stafford? I mean, come on.
I'm not sure. I feel like Harbaugh off a bye, little rest for the Ravens. I think that's a tough spot. That's a tough ask.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about the Jags and the Browns now? Backup quarterback battle. What are we going to get, Bethard and DTR or Bethard and Bethard Flacco?
Bethard is better than Flacco.
I don't know.
Man, you like this Flacco. I think they're going to go down like a dart. It's on the road, though, in the dog pound. 30.5. I mean, 30.5.
Yeah, we got dueling 30.5s now this week.
Is it like dueling pianos?
So wait a second. Like, I thought we were kind of getting out of the funk last week when it came to the totals. And now this week we have a 30.5, a 37.5, another 30.5, a 32.5. Jeez. 37.5. That's all this week.
How could that be?
It's like no middle ground either. Then you have some high ones. That 52.5 in the Eagle game. Bills, Chiefs, 47.5. Dolphins, Titans, 47. Seahawks, Niners, 46.
I love this game this week.
You have a game you love this week, huh?
Love. I'm not.
Double.
I want to lay it. Want to lay it now.
Really?
Yeah.
Gonna be a best bet, huh?
Gonna be a double dog diamond crypto slice.
Wait, are you gonna lay it or is you a dog? Or is it, who? What
I'm
is
gonna
it?
Lay it. I'm gonna lay it. I love this game. I don't like. I love.
I can't wait for this on Friday. Love this game.
No, I mean seriously, premium play clients that you. Listen, we didn't let you down on the conference championship weekend. This is a premium special. Get your holiday money early. Week 14 of the NFL. If you don't win, you get my double dog diamond special holiday bowl and college basketball package absolutely free with double hump promo code.
Double hump.
Make it a double. Double hump at home.
All right, we'll come back. Rick Haro, our sports business and legal insider. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi with you, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us here. And joining us, as he does weekly here on Carver and Lisi, is Sports Grid's sports business and legal insider. And that is the one, the only, Rick Haro, the sports professor here with us. Hi, Rick. How are you?
I'm really good.
Look out. Look out. Try to fix that up for us, Patias, if you can. We'll get Rick.
Come on.
We'll get Rick back in the mix in a moment. There is Rick under. Sounds like he was swimming.
He's under
swimming back. Swimming back to the where was he last week? Dominican Republic, right? Wherever he was, he's swimming back there.
Swimming back to the boat.
Swimming back to the boat. He sounded like right there. Tough scene.
It was like a stingray was by him.
It happens,
underwater,
Joe.
Underwater aquatics. Shark Week isn't until March?
When is Shark Week? I feel like there's multiple ones
May,
now.
Isn't it?
I think they have it like
Memorial Day.
Every day Shark Week now, Joe. Every day.
I used to watch.
All right. Hi, Rick. How are you? Hi, Rick.
Hey,
there we go.
Will you feed your hamster, please? Feed your hamster. Come on, man.
Okay, just, all right.
I was at a riveting game between the Jupiter High School Warriors and the Glade Central Somethings, and I pried myself away halftime. I couldn't not go to the beginning of the basketball season here in Palm Beach County, just because I'm here so infrequently. I decided to give back, and, you know, my presence is very valuable, so I walked the court and waved to people. And, you know, you as a voice of radio would appreciate this. No one recognizes me.
Well, that's a good. That's the best part. Yeah, that's the thing. Nobody recognizes you. Can be as incognito as you want. I know that you're king down there, and it's tough for you to maneuver in a lot of places. But you have finally found somewhere, Rick, where you could be inconspicuous to the crowd. So that's a very good thing. That's for sure. We have a lot to cover here with you. Let's start, because I know me and Joe have spent the last couple days with this, and me and you briefly talked about it on Monday on the TV side, and that is the college football playoff, all the fallout, the lawsuits, everything else that's going to happen. It's a very unfortunate, Rick. You have a 13-0 team. Joe's very passionate about it. He's very upset that Florida State didn't get in, that they got jobbed by the Crack Crab and Lobster Committee with their $1,000 dinner that they had on Saturday night while they watched Florida State beat Louisville. But at the end of the day, Rick, you know this, they were never leaving the SEC champion out of the Big Bad College Football Playoff. Never going to happen.
Well, 10 years in a row. And I also think probably because the SEC plays, you know, a damn good brand of football. So the biggest surprise that I had, believe it or not, is the ease with which Texas kind of slid in there. I understand they beat Alabama, and that is the reason. And they're the top quality one-loss team with strength of schedule and all of that. And they weren't going to leave Georgia and Alabama out, so they had to choose one. That's one way of looking at it. The other thing, though, as a lawyer, you know, think of this Crack Crab Committee, as you call them. By the way, they will not be on your Christmas card list, nor will you be on theirs. But I do think that at the end of the day, this is one of those groups where you have rules that are published. The rules are vague. If you follow those rules, you lock those guys in a room, kind of like 12 jurors, and as long as something makes sense out of it, you can quibble and complain, but that was the system. It's going to be the system again, except you're going to have 12, which means number five is going to be upset because he didn't get a bye the first four next year, remember, get byes, and number 13, because they're left out. So, you know, you can't win by losing. So what's the result? Result is if the published criteria did not include injury and the fact that the team wasn't like the team it was earlier in the season, then I would have a real complaint. But this is kind of like the jury system. As long as you have a rule that loosely can justify it, then I guess I'm okay with it. Now, you know, I'm in Florida, and Joe's going to come after me with his reasons. We've heard all the reasons for the last 4 days. We've heard them 100 times. The bottom line of this is that college football is really intense, and it's really avid, and everybody had a case. Even when you look at the Athens papers today, I kind of had fun watching yesterday, the Athens paper and the Atlanta paper. They were jobbed. Georgia was jobbed. Well, you know, of course they weren't, but Ohio State was jobbed. You know, and they didn't even play in a game last weekend. So it's subjective, and as long as it's subjective, it's controversial. And what does controversy mean? Everybody listens. Everybody watches, even pundits. You know, we all are paid some more than others for their opinions, and the opinions aren't right, they're not wrong, but they're opinions. And so that's my long rambling way to say it may have been broke, but we're fixing it next year. So, you know, shut up and wait till next year.
So I'll leave off with this. I'll lead off with this, Rick. You're right. The controversy is what drives the sport. I agree with that, and that's the controversy's been there in 1990 and 1997 with split national championships. I love the controversy. The problem that I have is that there is no debate about Texas, Alabama, and Florida State. It's simple. Texas and Alabama had one loss. Florida State had none. The second thing is that would the committee have looked at Ohio State or Texas or Alabama if they were 12-0 and on their backup quarterback and would have told them, oh, they don't look the same. That's the second thing. The third thing is that it would have been the third string quarterback, Brock Glenn. It would have been Tate Rodemaker. And they covered both lines, won by double digits against Louisville, okay? And they used the same thing about Ohio State, but Ohio State back in 2014 had one loss. and still won a national championship. And let's just throw in this. The SEC Network and the Longhorn Network, okay, are owned by ESPN. So there can be collusion all around as it relates to that. And I think they should throw in a formal investigation, because everybody wants to do about the monitoring of sports wagering in college games. And we know that, you know, that U.S. Integrity monitors everything. Hopefully they monitor the college football playoff wagering prior to the broadcast, because the ESPN suits had knowledge before anybody else. So that's the problem that I have. There is no debate when one team is undefeated and the other two have one loss.
Wow. You know what? Hey, Carver, you know, in the long history of me on this show, that's the most educated rant your partner has ever projected.
He's got this one down, Rick. Give him credit for that. He has had a couple days with this, and he's in on it.
You know, the problem is it's going to be, let me just make this up, Tuesday, December 20th, okay? We're going to hear the same thing from him. I'm going to say the sky is blue, and then 3 minutes later, we're going to hear the same thing.
Well,
but he's wound up. You got to give the guy credit.
Well,
he's wound up.
I know, and Joe is very Joe is very passionate about college football. This is Joe loves college football more than anything else, and I respect and I love that about him. But what I also said to him, Rick, was, you know, as passionate as he is about this, and he deserves to be, because I feel Florida State was screwed as well. But at the end of the day, I'm excited and out for January 1st. And I don't think that on January 1st, when I see Harbaugh and Saban on the sidelines in sun-soaked Pasadena, Rick, I don't think anybody's going to be worried anymore about Mike Norvell or those kids. Right or wrong, that's just how it is. Yep. They're going to be focused on those games.
Right. His comment about ESPN people knowing it in advance and all of that, that's something that is probably worthy of investigation. Let's just put it that way. And
how about that, you know, Joe? Rick agreeing with you.
I would say of all of the points.
Don't let the air fool you, Rick. I'm smarter than you think.
Well, let's not go that far. I think you're pretty smart, but I wouldn't raise the bar unnecessarily here. You're like Haley Comet. You struck one in 84 years. Okay, congratulations on that one. Really good. Let's just stop there.
Rick.
Let me ask you seriously,
because I saw the legislation from, obviously, the representatives in the Senate from Florida. Rick Scott said he's going to do a formal investigation. This is just all bells and whistles, right? Nothing's going to come of this.
Well, it can't. I mean, if it could, then everybody who feels like they deserve to be in, no matter how bad the hosing is, files an investigation and files a lawsuit. And by the way, I know Corey Simon. I don't know if you know him. Remember the name? He was a defensive tackle for the Eagles, but an All-American at FSU.
Corey Simon played at Florida State.
And I was going to say, All-American at FSU, and an Eagle, and a state senator, and very passionate. I know him well. He is the kind of leader of all of the Pop Warner teams in the state of Florida. So, look, he knows his stuff. And, you know, just by saying we need to file a lawsuit doesn't mean the lawsuit has any merit. Which is good, that way.
All right, we'll come back. We got more with our sports business and legal insider, Rick Haro, Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM 159. Great to have you with us here. All right, we got our sports business and legal insider, Rick Haro, joining us as always. A lot to do. All right, Rick, several topics here that I must get to with you, and I'm going to start with this one. And as of us talking right now, I know that this hour does see the light of day in some other times of the day, so I'm going to say it like this, Rick. as of us talking right now, Ohtani obviously has not signed anywhere yet. There is a lot of chatter. There's two separate things with Ohtani. First, there was the story that he visited with the Blue Jay people down at their Florida complex in Dunedin on Monday, and that Toronto is a very heavy player in this. Our own Gabe Renzi on Sports Grid was with me last week on Coast to Coast saying how Rogers has just hundreds of millions of dollars, and they're very committed that Ohtani is something that they would green light for the Blue Jays and absolutely go after him. So there's that chatter. And then there was this Dave Roberts stuff on Tuesday night where Roberts was asked by the media at the winter meetings about Ohtani, and like all he said was, yeah, we met with him. And it caused this big firestorm that, well, Ohtani doesn't want any information getting out. Like, Rick, I mean, he didn't tell him what he had for breakfast. I mean, he just said what he met, that he met with him. Like, what is the big deal? You think he's not going to take $600 million from the Dodgers because Dave Roberts said he met with them? Get serious.
No, that's not either. It's, look, you can stir it all up, and agents have a momentary power right now, but this is going to be the biggest contract in the history of baseball. I'd love to see what the ultimate number is going to be. Everybody would, because you've got the best talent in baseball since Babe Ruth against the fact that he's injured. You know, let's put it this way. He's not injured at bat, but he's injured on the mound. He'll be back. It's, you know, recovery from Tommy John surgery is usually statistically okay. And this guy's a freak anyway, so he's going to be all right. But I think until he's signed, it's like, I don't know if you remember the LeBron and the, you know, the big three and before they took their talents to South Beach that early July. This is like that on steroids, so to speak. And it's going to get bigger. It might be 24 hours away from signing, might be 48, might be a little longer than that. But when you look at the papers around the country, there are six or seven markets that think he's going there. And I know he's really good, but he can't play for seven teams at once.
Well, speaking of steroids, no, I'm not on steroids, but it looks like the sports wagering in and the NFL is on steroids. 667%, Rick, over 5 years. We got everybody. I mean, men, women. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, and let's remember, I you know, back in the leather helmet days when I was doing the consulting and building stadiums with the NFL, I was told in the office, absolutely do not tinker with casino sponsorships, with Indian land, with anything that would indirectly smack of gambling. Then the ruling comes out, and all of a sudden, seven deals immediately, and this increase. Now, the naming rights deals have gotten higher as well, not just for gambling, but otherwise. The retail pieces are not, but the financial services companies are. And when you think of all of this, this is one of those things where the economy is getting healthy. The COVID pandemic, thankfully, is behind us. The numbers keep getting better. And I think when you realize how the dollars are going up in naming as well as gambling, it's good for sports.
Certainly is, that's for sure. I want to get to PGA Tour Policy Board sends memo amid live rumors. Speaking of live rumors, I guess we could tie this in, Rick. There's been reports from some European sources on Tuesday that Jon Rahm is going to go join LIV Golf. Now, this kind of layers into your report here about the policy board and the LIV rumors. Now, this stuff gained more traction when they announced some of the bigger names for the Amex, which is in January. He's the defending champ, and he's not playing in the event. There's been a lot of smoke with a couple of events that he has normally committed to that he's not going to. It seems like, Rick, and as of right now, it's not official, but it seems like there's a chance that Rahm is going to leave the PGA Tour for LIV Golf, which would be by far the biggest blow to the PGA. And I get they lost Mickelson and Dustin Johnson and some of the other guys. This would be absolutely the biggest blow to them.
Well, and it's more than a rumor. I can't confirm, but there's a lot of chatter down here in Golf Central, you know, where I am.
Yes.
That doesn't make it real, but it's confirming the chatter. And when you think about it, it's simultaneous with the fact that it may be that the December 31 deadline that everybody's talking about the PGA Tour reaching the detailed negotiations with the Saudi trust, the Saudi Development Fund, and maybe all of these other equity partners who are kind of on the sidelines waiting for the next shoe to drop, it may all be tied in. Because obviously, if the merger doesn't happen, then the John Rahm jump makes a little more sense, and we're back apart, not together. So it is all related. This all is going to break in the next couple of weeks, we think. And, you know, hold on to the sports ticker, like we used to say.
Let's take a twirl at the NBA. So the deal that Mark Cuban struck now has the casino complex in the spotlight in regards to the Mavericks?
Well, the Adelson family, Sands, one of the biggest casino operating families ever, obviously one of the wealthiest. And Mark Cuban clearly wants to be a developer of a huge casino metroplex in downtown Dallas, near the new arena, or near the old arena. And the best thing for him to do was to get some money for the Mavericks, $3.5 billion valuation, joint venture with one of the biggest casino operators and developers in the world, and still retain control of the Mavericks. So, you know, he is one of the smartest human beings ever.
He certainly is, that's for sure. The DraftKings situation. Let me just get this one back up. Here we go. DraftKings escapes serious financial damage for mispriced sports betting odds. I was reading a little bit about this up in Massachusetts, Rick. Crazy story.
Yeah, and we talked about it a little bit last time. The parlays and what the big companies usually do is give refunds in certain circumstances. This was not the case. We would have thought that it would have been a little bit more consumer friendly, especially with a lot of bettors, you know, first time in the industry. They ended up losing, you know, over $1 million, even more on this. It may be a black eye, but at the end of the day, you got to be able to protect your investment. It's time for the crisis managing public relations consultants to get in the middle of this.
Rick, I want to ask you about the EA college game. So the NIL lawsuit was dropped. All systems go for next year?
Yeah, the compromise was that the NIL dollars will be spread. There'll be figuring out how to do it. But there was a firm that was representing athletes, not all of them, some of them, that put a wrench in the middle of the settlement, the master settlement, and now that's been done. It looks like, although it hasn't been finalized, it looks like, as you said, all systems go, and it looks like EA will have college athletes by summer of 2024.
Wow, how about that? That would be outstanding. Sports betting sponsorship skyrocket 667% over 5 years in the NFL. Massive numbers.
Yeah, massive numbers. And like we said, it started from zero. So we can understand where it's been. But when you think about the growth is all kinds, as you said before. Women betting. First-time bettors, you know, avid bettors. The NFL has done a pretty good job of protecting the integrity of the game, but yet generating as much revenue as they possibly could, which is really, really good for them.
All right, Rick, I'm sorry. Yeah, you caught me laughing there for a second. I'm sorry. So let me ask you.
Yeah, I can't. Was that laughing or coughing? Are you terminal? You're all right? Everything okay?
God forbid, Rick. I'm not that old. I'm not as old as you. Stop now. Look at that.
No, clearly. No one's as old as me. It is digressed because I gave you one of the most significant compliments at the beginning of the show because
that's
of your
true
multi-rehearsed FSU thing. And look at what
it
you're doing to me right
now. It wasn't rehearsed, Rick.
Not rehearsed.
Top of my head. That was not rehearsed.
Not rehearsed.
Never rehearsed. Right. I go, never. Good. No cue cards either. Good. Here. This is right off the top. Let me ask you a question, though. In regards to what's going on in regards to NIL and what we're seeing with the transfer portal, because Carver and I have talked about it. It's getting out of control now. Is there any plan in place as it relates to the bowl and how it relates to the transfer portal, you know, legally that these schools can do? It's out of control now, Rick.
Well, it was out of control before. Now what the NCAA is trying to do is to say that the athletic departments can attempt to take control over these dollars and distribute them to the athletes, and it could come back to the athletic departments of the schools. Many athletic directors love the idea of taking control. Some of them don't want it at all. They're saying, look, leave it to others. We don't want to deal with this. But at least there's a step in the right direction to attempt to try to govern what was an ungovernable situation a year and a half ago when then-President Emmert said athletes get paid and we'll figure out how to allow it in the next year and a half, and they forgot to write that memo.
Are you going to Foxborough Saturday for the Army-Navy game?
No, I am not. I'm going to be watching it at home. I'm playing in the Pro-Am. Follow the, I think it's the championship of the world over 50 players. You know that Ryder Cup format? I don't know if they've gotten a lot of publicity, but they're playing it at the concession over in Sarasota. And
really?
Ernie Els and Steve Stricker. Yeah, you ought to watch it this weekend. It is really going to be fun, and I'm in the Pro-Am, just so you know.
Hey, you got to go to Sarasota, Rick, the Circle. They have like a nut store there. I'm telling you, homemade almond butter, peanut butter, it's beautiful.
Stop at the nut store for Joe.
It's called St. Armand Circle. We all know
he
it.
He knows
Joe.
It.
And I know.
Yes.
I know the nut store. Now, why that came up in the middle of my conversation about the over 50 Ryder Cup is beyond me, but I know exactly where it is.
Rick, have a great week. Enjoy the Pro-Am. We'll see you next week here on Carver and Lisi. There he is. Rick Harrow, our sports business and legal insider. We'll come back, wrap this one up right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi with you, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM 159. Okay, Joe. So tomorrow we'll do... we'll obviously get ready for the Steelers and the Patriots, or at least we'll try to with the SGP. I don't know where we're going to go with that, but we'll do our best. Maybe some unders for the first time ever. There's a lot of NBA on Wednesday night also. Magic are in Cleveland. Sixers are in Washington. These, of course, are all the teams that didn't make the knockout round for the in-season tournament. Memphis is in Detroit. San Antonio in Minnesota. Brooklyn's in Atlanta. Heat, Toronto, Charlotte, Chicago. Joe, there's a lot of games here on Wednesday. OKC, Houston, Utah,
Bulls,
Dallas.
We got the Bulls.
Bulls are home for Charlotte. They're laying 5, too.
Are they really?
Yeah. Charlotte stinks, especially with no ball.
I know. Charlotte will probably step up and beat them.
Nuggets, Clippers late night also in Los Angeles. So you have a lot of games here. And then Thursday night will be the semis of the play-in of the, the in-season tournament, and it'll be Indiana and Milwaukee on the east side after the Bucks. Man, they've got way past that 260 we were talking about, Joe. They got through that.
I know. They smashed it. Right?
146-122 was the final in that game. Whew. I mean, the Bucks they hit a billion threes in it. Joe, great job. I'll see you tomorrow. Great job, of course, by Matias Burbell. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Cash some tickets. See you tomorrow on the grid.